The most important discovery of this journey, to me at least, was that all of the governments of Latin America realize now that they have to translate economic and social reforms into action, they have to get results, that the old societies must change, that the mold of the past is broken by events, by the revolution that has swept the world, and that they must identify themselves with these essential changes to support any successful economic reform movements. That is to say, they must be for the benefit of the people and demonstrably for the benefit of the people. I think this is a marked progress and of the utmost importance. I look forward to an increasing realization that with strict correctness and probity and sincerity of behavior on both sides, that the realization that South America needs us and that we need South America. Our mission demonstrated, I think, the vital importance of recreating confidence in a collective approach to the problems of communist subversion and of indirect aggression, if the inter-American system has any hope of survival. The abortive Cuban invasion attempt of last April, coupled with subsequent public disclosure and controversy, did not enhance Latin American opinion about the United States. I think we might as well face that, because a non-intervention is still a cardinal article of faith throughout our good neighborhood. But I suspect there is a great deal of unspoken disappointment, actually, that the invasion failed. That even in these cases, most of them, I dare say, would have denounced any unilateral invasion publicly. In some countries, there has been a tendency to regard the Cuban problem as essentially a bilateral quarrel between the United States and Cuba, which might be negotiable if we only relaxed our hostility and permitted the larger Latin American states to act as mediators. I believe that we succeeded in convincing the presidents and governments in concern that the problem is by no means a bilateral problem, that such issues between us as compensation for expropriated properties are of secondary order, which could be negotiated if other circumstances were favorable, and that the real cause of concern is the establishment of a beachhead for communist penetration and subversion throughout the hemisphere. It follows that the issue is one of concern to all of the American republics, affecting Latin America even more than the United States, because it is the Latin countries which are more vulnerable and actually the object of indirect aggression today. The alignment of Cuba with the communist movement has greatly added to the appeal of communism, however, since it can now take on the guise of an indigenous Latin American revolutionary movement. There is very widespread popular sympathy for the proclaimed goals of the Cuban Revolution, including land reform, popular education, social equality, the removal of foreign business influences, and defiance of the Yankee colossus. The failure of the April invasion attempt gave added impetus to communist Castro penetration, since it seemed to imply immunity of left extremism in Latin America from United States retaliation. There is little popular appreciation of the Sovietization of the Cuban regime. Latin America thinks of Cuba as, by and large, the ordinary people think of Cuba as a social reform, as a social revolution, and whereas we think of it as communism. A good deal of propaganda material is being imported from Cuba. Several governments commented on activity by Cuban agents, sometimes with the help of Cuban diplomatic missions. The Cubans appear, however, to to be becoming increasingly cautious about gun running and blatant abuses of diplomatic missions for subversive purposes. I must tell you that I was followed on this journey or preceded by two or three diplomats from Cuba. It sort of reminded me of those truth squads that the Republicans used to send. In connection with the misunderstanding of the true character of the current developments in Cuba, I believe that excellent use could be made of students and of professional intellectuals among the Cuban exiles, especially those who fought with Castro in his early days, to speak and write and circulate among their counterparts throughout the hemisphere. Their testimony would have a credibility which no North American can be expected to achieve.